Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatary and Congregation now is out the 12th Hour. In the Liberty Hill, Texas, today is July 5, 2014, or it is the ninth day of the fourth of lunar month, 2018. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Until the Storm Passes By. In the dark of the midnight have I halted my faith, while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious shall hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunders sound no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no use to try, for there's no end to sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll ride where the storms never darken the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunders sound no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never come of my heart, till it be when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunders sound no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Part 5 of Mount Zion at the 11th Hour by the V.T. Hardiff. We're on page 79. First, we're going to refer to a prayer thought taken from Psalms chapter 33. It says, rejoice in the Yahweh, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Yahweh with the harp, and sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Yahweh is right, and all his works are done in the truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment, for the earth is full of the goodness of the Yahweh. By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in the storehouses. The world stand in the awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. For the Yahweh bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. For the counsel of the Yahweh standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart unto all generations. Blessed is the nation whose Elohim is the Yahweh, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. So he's chosen the tribe of Judah, the house of David, for his own inheritance. Out of all of Israel, since Yahweh made the covenant with our forefathers, coming out of Egypt with Moses, there in the wilderness, we are the chosen one of his inheritance. 3,500 years later, Yahweh and Yahshua chooses the house of David, tribe of Judah, and the 144,000 as his inheritance. The Yahweh looketh from the heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of the host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength, and a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Yahweh is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from the death, and to keep them alive in the famine. Our soul waiteth for the Yahweh, he is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Yahweh, be upon us according as we hope in thee. End of a prayer thought. Let's now go into our main study on page 79 of Mount Zion at the 11th hour. We're going to do a little review from our last study. And I think it's very important what you're going to hear again. It said, for all the people answered together and said, all that the Yahweh has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Yahweh. Deuteronomy 28:1-9. Exodus 19:8. For the first covenant reaches from the time it was ordained unto the imminent and final ingathering of the 12 tribes of Israel. So that first covenant made with Israel, coming out of Egypt 3,500 years ago with Moses and the children of Israel, and the children of Israel said, all that Yahweh has said we will do, and they broke that covenant, and they have been breaking that covenant all the way down to 2002, because Israel had been under that first covenant for 3,500 years. And yet, though never invalidated by Elohim, see, Yahweh never invalidated that first covenant. But so it held clear on down through the Adventist movements of the three steps of the genuine movement of the Adventist trip of 2002. Yahweh never invalidated that first covenant he made with Israel, which the Adventists were under. They were under that first covenant as well. His validity has been persistently negated by the New Testament church. And the Seventh-day Adventists is certainly a New Testament church. And Gilead Center was a New Testament church. Okay? And she negated that first covenant. She followed right in the footsteps of her ancestors. And its sanctity violated by both the Old and New Testament churches until this very day. So as the people failing their promise, have broken Elohim's commandments, they thereby also have broken the covenant that Yahweh made with their fathers, okay, so the Seventh-day Adventists, the Davidians, and the branch Davidians at Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center, they all have violated and broken that first covenant that their fathers said we will do, we will keep and do. Their forefathers broke it, and so now every generation of Israel has broken it since, clear up to 2002. But in the new covenant, which the Yahweh is now about to fulfill, the commandments of the Elohim, Exodus 20, verse 1 to 17, unlike in the old, will not be written on the tables of the stone, Exodus 31:18, but in the fleshy tables of the heart, and at that time, All shall know the Yahweh from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Jeremiah 31:34. Exhibiting a church without tares. For the compact which is about to take place is the second covenant and his law being written on the heart with the perfectly, and will be perfectly kept. What does that tell you? House of David, tribe of Judah, and with the judgment of the living and the 12th parabolic hour, this is your new covenant church. This is the one that Yahweh and his son Yahshua is going to renew his covenant with them. And look what he's going to do after he does this. Then and not before will the blessing which his ancient people failed to receive be fully realized. So, the Adventists didn't fully realize the blessings of their forefathers, but the house of David will, with the 144,000. They're the ones that are going to inherit these blessings that was promised to our forefathers coming out of Egypt, which they said, all that Yahweh has said we will do, but they didn't do it, and they rebelled for 3,500 years. Jeremiah also bearing witness that this promised covenant has not yet been fulfilled, but that it is to be honored now, and the gathering time declares. Did Jehovah thought that he was in the gathering time? He thought the 11th hour was the last hour. He thought he was in the gathering time, and so therefore, he says that's when it's going to be fulfilled. Yeah, it's going to be fulfilled, all right, in the last parabolic hour, the 12th hour, that's your gathering time. Thus speaketh the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in the book. For lo, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Yahweh, and I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. Jeremiah 30:2-3. These verses show vividly that Elohim is to validate the second covenant when he brings his people again from their captivity, while subsequent verses fix the time of this liberation or ingathering, where it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahshua of a host, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Yahweh the Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Jeremiah 30:8-9. This prophecy, we observe, did not meet its fulfillment in the return of the Jews from their captivity in the ancient Babylon. That was your tribe of Judah, house of David, incidentally, in the type. Let's continue. Because at that time, Elohim did not raise up David their king, and they did not, in fact, have any king at all of their own, but were under the Medo-Persia rule. For the prophecy, therefore, can be applied unto no other time than today, when both Israel and Judah shall be joined into one great kingdom, established in the everlasting righteousness. Then they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahweh. Consequently, the fact that there has never been a time from the day that this scripture was written, even unto the present day, that every one of Elohim's people as a church or a nation has known the Yeshua and kept his commandments, or the Yahweh and kept his commandments, again proves that the fulfillment of the second covenant, of which the Exodus movement was a type, is yet future. So if V.T. Hollis says that this is yet future from when he wrote this track in about the 30s and 40s, and then he's talking about the 12th hour, he's talking about the house of David that comes up and comes forth in the 12th hour here, and since 2002, this is the time he's talking about. How long, said the Yahweh, wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Yahweh has created a new thing in the earth. It says that a woman shall compass a man. Jeremiah 31:22. This woman must be symbolical, for no one person can possibly encompass another. She must, for this reason, be a symbol of the church, and the man must be the Yahshua. Who shall at that time have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, purified the church, Isaiah 4:4, Testimony Volume 5, page 80. Then will he be unto her as a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory and the midst of her, and will dwell in the midst of her, Zechariah 2:5-11. Though many variously raised their voices against the Elohim's establishing the seed of the Israel as a righteous and holy nation free from the sinners, they shall fail to overthrow the plans of him who giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divide the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Yahshua of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Yahshua, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Yahweh, if the heaven above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Yahweh, Jeremiah 31:35-37. As the promises are made only unto Israel, the seed of Abraham, the original vine which has been trodden down, this vine must therefore be raised up. Then the penitent Gentiles, by the virtues of the adoption in the Yahshua, shall be grafted into it, and only thus become of the planting of the Yahweh. I say, then, hath Elohim cast away his people? Elohim forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. For Elohim hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith of the Elias, how he maketh intercession in Elohim against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of the Yahweh unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men, who have not bowed the knee unto the Baal, the image of the Baal. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by the grace, then it is no more of the works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, Elohim hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them, that their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. So now what do you think the antitypical David is saying as well? He's saying the same thing with those that he was involved with. I say then, had they stumbled, that they should fall? Elohim forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but a life from the dead? For if the first fruit, the Jew, be holy, the lump, Jew and Gentile, is also holy. And if the root, the Jew, be holy, so are the branches, whether they be original or grafted in. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, the Gentile tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the good olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou Gentile, bearest not the root, but the root, the Jew, thee. thou wilt save them. The branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if Elohim spared not the natural branches, the unbelieving Jews, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of the Elohim on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For Elohim is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary unto nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away unrighteousness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin. As concerning the gospel, that is, the teaching of the plan of the salvation by the blood of the Yahshua, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake, for the gifts and calling of the Elohim are without repentance. For as you in times past have not believed Elohim, you have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For the Yahweh Elohim hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of the Elohim, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Yahweh, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and unto him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans 11. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far, for the Yahweh hath called me, parentheses, Israel, from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. And I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Yahweh, and my work with my Elohim. And now saith Yahweh that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob his posterity again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Yahweh, and my Elohim shall be my strength. We too may say, though the whole world may reject Elohim and his message, yet we will trust in the Yahweh. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel only. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Isaiah 49:1-6. Even in the other words, those of Israel who declare the sealing message of the 144,000 unto the church shall also declare Elohim's glory among the Gentiles, thus be his salvation unto the end of the earth, and bring all their brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations, Isaiah 6:6-19-20. Thus saith the Yahweh, or Yahshua, this is the Son, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, unto him whom man despises, the one whom they call this man, Luke 19:14, see page 71, unto him whom the nation abhorreth, unto a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes all shall worship, because of the Yahshua that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. This is the Yahshua, and in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of the salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the destined heritages, that thou mayest say unto the prisoners, go forth unto them that are in darkness, show yourself, they shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of the water shall he guide them, and I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O Israel, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountain, for the Yahweh hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. The Zion said, the Yahweh hath forsaken me, and my master hath forgotten me. Isaiah 49:7-14. Sign, as we have herein seen, being the church in which 144,000 are at the time the sealing message is heard, and being as the apple of his eye, the Yahshua asked her, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Isaiah 49:15-17. That is, the sinners will be taken out of her, cast away from among the just. Matthew 13:48-49. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith Yahweh, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. See Zechariah 8:23, The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 2, page 281. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be for all far away. That is, a great multitude is to join the church, but the sinners shall be kept out of it. For the children which shall have those who shall be gathered in after thou hast lost the other, those who fell in the slaughter of Ezekiel 9, shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me, give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? This question shows that the church is ignorant of the great multitude of the Revelation 7:9. The second fruits, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will lift up my hand unto the Gentile, and set up my standard unto the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Yahweh, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? are the lawful captive delivered, but thus saith Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him and contend with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Yahweh, am thy Savior, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Isaiah 49:18-26. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hand, in the midst of him they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the Elohim of Israel. Behold, the name of Yahweh cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream, shall reach unto the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of the vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, and causing them to err. Isaiah 29:23. Isaiah 30:27-28. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Because the palace shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for den, forever a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Isaiah 32:8-14-20. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Who among us shall dwell with the divine fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of the defense shall be the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. He shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe, secretary? Where is the receiver, treasurer? Where is he that counted a statistical secretary? With the towers, conference the presidents. Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Thou shalt speak and understand all the languages. Isaiah 33:13-19. Strengthen ye the weak hands, then confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Elohim will come with a vengeance, even Elohim with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of the dragons where each lay shall be grass with the reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the Way of the Holiness. For the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those of the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon, it shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Yahweh shall return and come to Zion, with the song and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and Zion shall flee away. Isaiah 35:3-10. Inasmuch as both the field with the wheat and tares, Matthew 13:30, and the net with the good and bad fish, Matthew 13:47-48, represent the gospel church during the period in which the saints and the hypocrites are commingled. Then the vessels into which the good fish are placed after the bad are cast away from among them, and the barn into which the wheat is placed after the tares are separated from it, must necessarily represent the church passing from its unclean state, field or net, into another, its purified state, which is symbolized not by the field or by the net, but rather by a barn and by the vessels, a new place, safe and clean, where henceforth there shall no more come of the uncircumcised and the unclean, Isaiah 52:1. So no matter what the term we may give unto this new place into which the saints are to be gathered, the place itself will be absolutely free from sin, because all sinners among the righteous have then been destroyed. Since after the separation of the unconverted from among Elohim's true people, the church then comprised 144,000, the first fruits of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, is to emerge into a theocratic government. Inevitably, then the vessels represents the component units, the tribes into which the redeemed are gathered severally, while the barn represents the composite unit, the kingdom into which they are gathered collectively. And this great gathering, selective, absolute, and final as it is, only goes to show again that the birth of the kingdom is absolutely dependent upon the purification of the church. I, Yahshua, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16. Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good, and are ye still? Judges 18:9. Be not slothful, act promptly, get ready, follow the Lamb to the ruler of the land. Send ye the Lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah unto the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. Okay, the mount of the daughter of Zion is Mount Zion. At the 11th hour, that's where the daughter of Zion was located, and which is now Mount Zion at the 12th hour. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon, take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday, hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab, be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler, for the extortioner is at an end, the spoiler ceases, the oppressors are consumed out of the land, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in the truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. Isaiah 16:1-5. Though this passage may seem to contain nothing more than the Kabbalistic language of the cadence mysticism, yet it holds lessons calculated to convert even the case-hardened infidels unto the certain truth of the Bible. Indeed, if the Elohim people could get along without this scripture, we may be sure that he would not have taken either the prophet's time to write it or space in the Bible to record it. Were it in short merely a mystical rhapsody of prophetic tenor without the rhyme or reason, then it were naught but a piece of vain repetition, an imperfection, an impossible thing with the Elohim, so to attach no significance or importance to the verses would lay one under the fearful condemnation of the following scripture. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Elohim shall take away his part out of the book of the life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Revelation 22:19. As Isaiah's words therefore must contain light, for the absence of which, leaving dark our path, expose us unto the risk of the falling with the blind heading into the pit. For the diligent searcher for the truth will discover that though the passage appears obscured and involved in the mystery, it is plain and simple when seen in the light which shines from above. Send ye the Lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah, unto the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Zion, Isaiah 16:1. For the definite article, the, lends absolute meaning unto the noun lamb, showing that a lamb, the only one of its kind, was the object of the command to send the lamb from Moab to the mount of the daughter of Zion, Mount Zion in Jerusalem. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. That is, the lamb had to be taken from Moab because the Moabites were to be cast out as a wandering bird at the fords of Arnon, Isaiah 16:2. Sacred history records that the one lamb taken from Moab before the Moabites were cast out of their nest was the one of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh, Yeshua." For the prophecy shows that the lamb was rushed from Moab unto Mount Sinai, David's palace at Jerusalem, an event which took place when Naomi, with her sons, went to Moab, the wilderness, a nation not under the direct care of the Yahweh, and therefore not a vineyard, and brought Ruth, the Moabites, from Moab unto Jerusalem. For Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and she bare a son, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David, and Jesse begat David. Ruth 4:13-22. This Yahshua, the son of David, was sent from Moab unto Mount Sinai, David's palace, thus showing Yahshua's divinity as the son of Elohim, and his humanity as the son not only of David, but also of the lot Moab. Oh, how wonderfully particular is our Elohim, the names Obed, Jesse, and David. In the Hebrew tongue, mean Yahshua, a servant, Obed, who is to be my presence, Jesse, the beloved David, Yahshua being in the flesh, a Moabite as well as an Israelite. Elohim says, "Let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab, Yahshua. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler, and a man, again, pointing to Yahshua, shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Isaiah 16:4. sent to take counsel, execute judgment, make his shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday, hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Isaiah 16:3, Yahshua, a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest and a weary land, is a great and perfect shadow, even as the midnight at noonday. So also exclaims the psalmist, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O Yahweh. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wing, because thou hast been my help. Therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice, Psalm 36:7, 63:7. And therefore exclaims the gospel prophet, also shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nation shall fear thee, for thou hast been a strength unto the poor, a strength unto the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, Isaiah 25:3-4. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in the truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment, and hasting righteousness, Isaiah 16:5. Since according unto this scripture, the establishment of the Yahshua's throne is yet future, and since furthermore it is to be set up in the tabernacle of David, and the tabernacle of David right now rests right here in Liberty Hill, Texas, right here on this here campground where we are residing, my wife and I, which did not take place at his first coming. Yahshua, therefore, when he comes to reign in his forthcoming kingdom, will sit on the throne of David, and as he is then to judge, seek judgment and hasten righteousness, for the entire action occurs just before the close of the probation, as the time in which he can hasten righteousness. So happily that this prophecy of the Yahshua's genealogy and of his taking the reins in his own hands, 2002, starting at the Passover Kermit, Texas, was given for the admonition and learning of those who shall be living at the end of time. Okay, so those that was living at the beginning of the end of time were your 11th hour servants from Gilead Center. They were the ones that was teaching and following along with present truth up to a certain point. And they were the ones called upon to hear this message of Elijah at the beginning of the end, at the beginning of the 12th hour. Supremely important, therefore, is the need to remember its all-important lessons, and with the faithful and act promptly. Seeing that Lot, as well as Abraham, appears in the genealogical record of the Yahshua, the question naturally asserts itself. Why should these two men be so greatly honored? And the answer awaits us. Abraham obtained this great honor because he was faithful unto the word of Elohim and never questioned it, though all things seemed destined to fulfill themselves contrary unto his interest and unto Elohim's promises. Though Elohim promised to give the land unto him and unto his posterity for a perpetual possession, Abraham personally never obtained the promise. Besides enduring these faith-trying tests, he waited 25 years for the promised son, only to be commanded when this only child was become a young man to sacrifice him for a burnt offering. Still, through every trial, he never lost his faith in Yahweh, but implicitly trusted in him and unreservedly observed his command. For this reason, Elohim signally honored him. Yet the great lesson here is to be learned is not so much from the Abraham's experience as from the Lot's, for though Lot was not quite so generous as was the Abraham, and not quite so willing to live apart from the world, still his faith in the promises of the Elohim unto Abraham was as great as was the faith of Abraham himself, yea, in some respects even greater. For Elohim spoke to Abraham in person, whereas he spoke to Lot through Abraham. Lot therefore had to have implicit confidence that Elohim had spoken to him through Abraham. Okay, hello, Alan DeLong and Sharon. You get the picture? Yahweh speaks through me unto you. Okay. As in the days of Abraham were over, there was no Bible by which to prove that his going from his father's house was in the fulfillment of the prophecy, and that Elohim was leading him to depart from Ur of the Chaldees to go unto a land, the whereabouts of which he himself knew not, Hebrews 11:8-9. We see that Lot was not like most men today, who question and criticize everything in the unfolding of the truth. Okay. So I have a man that's been with me for 33 years, only long, and he questions and criticizes every step of the way, and has for 33 years. And has never established any absolutes in his life about anything that pertains to absolute truth unfolding. He won't absolutely swear that he believes that I'm holding the office that I'm holding, truly holding the office as this antitypical character of Elijah David. He wouldn't swear to that. He wouldn't say, yes, I believe it, I can prove it. No, he wouldn't do that. So what are we learning? We're learning that Yahshua tries to harshen the reins. And his spirit is what motivates people either to accept or reject the truth as they hear it. Okay? And they have the freedom to do this on their own free will. Yahweh won't force anyone against his will to accept anything. Without the slightest questioning or doubting, he put his trust in Abraham's Elohim and confidently followed in the quest for the promised land. What a contrast between the character of Lot and that of the Jews who rejected the prophet and even put them to death. For this reason, Elohim honored Lot with the greatest gift heaven could bestow upon a human being, sharing the earthly parentage of the Yahshua of the glory, the eternal king. Although, furthermore, Lot's descendants, the Moabites and the Ammonites, were no better than the other heathen, yet for the Lot's sake, Elohim did not deal with them as he did with the rest of the heathen, but commanded Moses to distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in the battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. And when thou comest now over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession, Deuteronomy 2:9-19. And if any man serve me, said the Yahshua, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John 12:26. Also he shall call upon me, says the psalmist, and I will answer him. I will be with him in the trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalms 91:15. Aside from the happy deed, or the deed, of the showing hospitality unto the angels who visited Sodom, let's read that again. Aside from the happy deed of the showing hospitality unto the angels who visited Sodom, Genesis 19:1, the noblest act in the spotty record of the lost life is that he joined Abraham in his newly found and strange religion, and that in order to do so, he departed from both his father's house and his homeland, knowing not whether he was going. Besides receiving, consequently, the everlasting blessing of being one of the early progenitors of Yahshua, a blessing which he shall realize through Yahshua at the glad resurrection day and rejoice in throughout eternity. He did not go wanting for the temporal blessing, and while surrounded with the earthly danger, heaven sent angels were delivering him from the doomed city of the Sodom before it was reduced unto the ashes, Genesis 19:16 and verse 24 and 25. Had he waited, though, for the greater evidence as to whether or not Elohim was leading him in this most momentous event of his life, had he said in his heart, "I take no chance, but shall wait until this venture proves successful, I shall first investigate and know for surety that the land is fertile and the climate agreeable unto my family, stock, etc." He never would have had a part in the movement itself or in the paternal lineage of the Yahshua of glory or in his eternal kingdom. Oh, brother, sister, have you the faith of the Lord? All these things happen unto them for the ensample, and are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Let us then follow in the footsteps of these great men of the Elohim, trusting in his immutable word and acting upon it without the slightest hesitation. Follow not in the way of those who doubted, questioned, criticized, and who, in the fatal consequence, never arrived at the knowledge of the truth. Okay, hello out there, those of you that are hearing this, do you fit in this category? Of such who lived at the time of the early Advent movement, church history says multitudes, trusting implicit unto their pastors, refused to listen unto their warning, and others, though convinced of the truth, dared not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. This brings us to the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. Share this message and more. We'll close now with a song. Come we that love the Yahweh. Come we that love the Yah, and let her joys be known. Join the song with a sweet accord. Join in the song with a sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching up into Zion, the beautiful city of Yah. Let those refuse to say who never knew our Yah, the children of the heavenly King, the children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of Yah. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. Marching through Emmanuel's ground, we're marching through Emmanuel's ground, to fair her worlds on high, to fair her worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching King ever to Zion, the beautiful city of Yah.